Grace and peace be unto you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray shortly. Father, I'd ask that the words that will be on my lips and the meditation that is in my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Speak, Lord, your servants listen. Amen. Today is the Sunday of the year. We call Christ the King. And years past, I can remember pageants and other things, and the Sunday school had been meeting for a while, and they're ready to sing their first songs, and all kinds of pageantry happened on this day. You see, our church year is divided into two parts. The first part begins actually next week on Advent, and during the first half of the year, we celebrate the life of Christ on this earth. We think about when he was born, when he went to his epiphany, when he walked even all the way to the cross, and then rose again from the dead. All of those things happen in that half of the year. And then we have what we call Pentecost. And Pentecost is about 25, 26 weeks long, half of the year. And that's when we discuss the ministry of Christ. And so today, the last day of this church year that we'll celebrate, we're thinking of Christ being the King. And we kind of have an image of the king, and here he sees sheep and goats. Before I switch from this picture, I'd like you to notice the difference. So those of you who don't know, the very first row are sheep. The ones right behind it, those are goats. So in case you don't know the difference, now you can say, oh yes, at least I learned something today. Jesus is a shepherd king. Isn't that a nice image? He's comforting, he's helpful, he kind of holds us. If we wander off a little bit, he picks us up. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep, but sheep are remarkable animals. They're a little dumb. They just sort of follow along, and they do things that aren't bright. They definitely need a shepherd, and a good shepherd watches over them. And Jesus is a good shepherd, isn't he? He loves us and cares for us. He heals us. He saves us from death. Not death on this earth, but from death forever. He gives us everlasting life. And he guides us, and he watches over us, and he loves us, and he accepts us, even though we're poor sinners. And he seeks the lost, and he forgives us. He's a man of compassion, a man of mercy, a man of everlasting love. Who could not like that? And when we think of Jesus as the King, we have to remember, too, that he judges our people, and we need to be prepared to meet him. What do we make of Jesus, a shepherd, who decides between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, as it says in Ezekiel, or between those people who have sinned and do not deserve to be with God and those people who deserve to be with God, a king who is going to come and judge us? He either invites us to eternal joy or sends us into eternal punishment. Given that Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I come with the sword to divide one against another. And when that happens, our comfortable image of Jesus kind of dissipates, doesn't it? We see Jesus as a judge, standing before people, judging them. Some will say, oh, our Jesus doesn't do that. Surely our Jesus will not punish people. You know, one of the surprising facts to me, and I've said this many, many times, 95% of the people in the United States believe they are going to heaven because they've been good. Oh, he good. And so good people go to heaven. That's not what our Lord says. My friends, we need to look to Scripture. Jesus indeed is a good shepherd. He is one who loves and cares for us. He's one who cares for his flock. So let me ask you, what kind of shepherd would allow a wolf to go unpunished, or would allow a lion or a bear to consume his sheep? What kind of one would let one sheep get fat and another sheep die from starvation? What kind of king does not insist on punishing and living with his people? He loves and serves, and we have to obey the laws. And what kind of king tolerates evil and fails to reward good? If Jesus is our king, then we have to look at that. This is God's world, in a world that he has given to care for his son, the world that he was prepared to die for. So why would not that love demand from us a response? A response that is geared to our time and place, yes. It is perhaps still a response more than words, more than lip service. We need to do more than go through the message that we think. Our shepherd king, Jesus, is our judge. He will judge us because he cares for his people. He will judge us because he cares for his flock. If we love him, if we feed his sheep, then he rewards us. And if we do not love him, well, he punishes us. That is what today's gospel is all about. It is both about loving Jesus and being rewarded, and failing to love him and being punished. Christ is our King. And as King, we must look at him for all of our source. I've told you this today because we need to look at the parable of the sheep and the goats and find out what it is that we're missing. What don't we quite understand about this? Jesus said in the parable, be as sheep. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick, you looked after me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And the goats, of course, those are easy to tell. The goats are those who failed to do these things. And I leave it to you, for I am not your judge. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? And as you consider the answer to that question, I want you to think about whether you feed and feed, clothe and visit and do all of those things or not. And where is Jesus to be found today, by the way, in the community? This was 2,000 years ago. Where is Jesus in Wales? Where is Jesus in Washington, D.C.? Where is Jesus where we work and in the cities, in the places that we shop? What does Jesus look like today? How can we reach out and help him? How can we be a light? And the answer is tough, particularly when we think about people who are hungry, like in India and Asia, and prisoners in South Africa, and strangers being sought after in South America and Vancouver, and the naked people that are running around the world. We need to do something. You see, Jesus is the judge. You got to keep remembering that. There, and one of the problems is, what's a goat and what's a sheep? Crime and hunger and thirst and nakedness rarely really touch us. I have to be honest, I don't see it. They're not a part of my ordinary life. Who do I know in prison? Who do I know that's starving to death? When's the last time I saw a person that had no clothes and were naked? And what do I know what a stranger is? I'm sort of like Will Rogers. I've never met a person that's a stranger. We're not in Los Angeles where the poor people live on the streets. We're not in India where hungry people beg at the door. And we're not in Kingston where there's huge prisons to put everybody who disagrees with them. On rare occasion, we meet situations that we need to do something about. And so we do that. When there's a flood, we help out. When a hurricane or tornado or 9/11 or something big, we respond. Right now, there's a lot of people going hungry, and a lot of people are reaching out to them. We visit the sick before COVID-19, but now we can't. We also send money to mission service. Remember those yellow envelopes? We use those. And so I guess we're doing that what we're supposed to do. And Jesus knows who his sheep are, too, by the way. He can tell just by looking. Now, I want you to think about why it is that we do what we do. Look at this chart. I know you've seen it before. You see, the goats of this world do the good because they want to send the love. They want to get more love. The goats of the world do things that are pretty good so that they themselves will look better. So that when they say, look what I've done. Look how good I am. How great I art. And they reach out and they never let one good deed go without one good public announcement. They're goats. They do good for themselves. And they hope that God we'll love them because, after all, the more we do, the more God loves us, right? That's not right at all. That's not what we do, what we do. Look at the chart this way. We do those things because God loved us first. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Our response to the world is that we need to be loved. And we need to love people, not because it makes us feel good, but because we love God. And we want to reach out and share that thing. We need to be just like I told the children, to be that extension cord from the power of God to shining the light in the world. We need to be there, not because we have to, not because our salvation is dependent upon it. Remember in the parable, sheep. Goats. You can tell a sheep. A sheep is already a sheep. It did nothing to become a sheep, just like we did nothing to become a Christian. Jesus Christ did it all. He died for us. He loves us, and we respond to that. And he knows us, and we know him, and he knows us by name. We are sheep. Goats are goats. They don't change. Look in the world. Everywhere you see, there is evil. Everywhere you look, there are things that are looking bad and worse. This COVID hasn't helped. Unemployment hasn't helped. Sickness hasn't helped. Murder and all this strife hasn't helped. All those things are happening in the world. And my friends, we need to say, what have we done? What can we do? When we see a biker, do we see somebody who's evil, or do we see Jesus and the person who is really a good person at heart and could reach out and we could shine the light of Jesus and they could become a sheep? Or when we think about a teenager who was facing a few months in jail because they'd had a drug offense, do we say, oh, they're wrong and we can't do anything about them? Or do we pray for them and do we hope that they won't destroy the family and that they'll turn around? And what about the young woman who's a single mother, who's hanging around just showing her baby? She seems to have no morals at all. She can't control herself. She can't control her child. Isn't that where Jesus is? Isn't that who we need to reach out and love? Or how about the drunk who lives a few houses over? Or the divorced man that can't seem to control his temper? Or how about people that we see every day? People who have made their beds, as we say. Do we let them lie in them? Or do we pray for them? Do we become the extension cord from the power of God to the light of the world? And I say to you, Jesus wants us to see him in these people. He wants us to love them, but we do it not out of fear, not out of fear knowing that we're going to be punished if we don't, but rather out of love. We want to do that because Jesus first loves us. I like to think that no one wants to be a goat. I'd like to think that we have an image of Jesus, where we see Jesus, that he holds us and he loves us. The parable is not about caring for those what no one else cares about. The parable is about caring for the King who came to us and who is not like one of our family. He is our Savior. We do not have expectations beyond that which we can do. Jesus loves us. This I know. I read it in the Bible, so I know it's so. We were rejected and confused, and without him we're lost, but we have him. And so when he starts to separate the sheep and the goats, my friends, we are the sheep of his pasture. And we need to take care of the goats and make sure they don't stay goats. That's what our job is. So why bother? Because Jesus wants us to remember that he loves us and he calls us to love each other. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for those from the foundation of the world. God has the power. Jesus is the light. We need to be the extension cord. Amen.